besides you, I have no good pleasure on earth. You are our Father. You are all in all. You are our treasure. Guide us to know you this morning in this meeting. You are in us, and we want to be in you. We want to be like Maria, like Mary, to stay with you, to hear your word. Cleanse us and cover us with your blood. Look, Thai and something Indonesian is being translated from English. Do to others as you wish to be done to you, for that is the law and the prophets. Lord, we thank you for the revelation that this is the law and the prophets. Enter in by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the path is broad that leads to perdition, and there are many who go through it. Lord Jesus, we are willing to enter through the narrow gate, the difficult path that leads to life, even if there are only a few who find it. This is Matthew 7, verse 14. We are willing, we are ready to come together and together to go along this path that is so narrow, the gate that is so narrow that only you pass through, you fit through. Hallelujah. We thank you for everything that you work in our hearts, that your law can be written in our hearts. Lord, write your law into our hearts. Your kingdom really must increase in us. Thank you that you speak to us. We pray that you would find an expression of your kingdom in each and every one of us. Let's use Psalm 24 to pray. Psalm 24. Especially the last few verses. In Psalm 24, we can use this to pray. A Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your voice, your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Amen. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Verse 9. Lord, move into us, enter into us. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lord, we are this generation. We seek your face. Verse 10, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Verse 6, Lord, we want to see you in this meeting. We want to seek you. We're hungry for you. The Lord is strong and mighty. Verse 8. The Lord mighty in battle. Lord, we want to get to know you more in your strength and your might. We want to fight victoriously in this last battle. You are mighty in battle. All of your enemies shake before you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? Verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. We want to receive blessing from the Lord. We want to stand upon the mount of the Lord, the hill of the Lord. Lord, bring us up to your holy hill. Sanctify and purify our hearts again. Lord Jesus, we want to be of pure hearts so that we can behold you this morning, look to you this morning. Verse 6, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Lord, this morning we seek your face. We want to be like Moses, faithful in all of your house, that you would speak to us face to face. I repeat that so that the translation can get it. It's very precious to see how the Lord, the King's coming is related to people who have a pure desire in their heart to stand on his hill. If we want to be in Zion, then we will be able to bring the Lord back. The Lord is waiting for people who's seeking him, who has a pure heart, who's asking him, and then the Lord will appear as King. This has to be also in our heart. Lord, I went to see you many years ago. We had fellowship with a brother for 2 days about Psalm 24. And the brother said, if you are not the generation who is seeking his face, then you can forget it. You can forget about everything. We must be the generation who is seeking the Lord's face. Verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? When you climb a mountain, there is no broad path. I was reminded of this. For this you have been called, since Christ suffered for you, and he left an example for you, that you should follow in his footsteps. That was 1 Peter 2:21. Thank you, Lord, that you have gone ahead before us of this steep, narrow path. We want to follow in your footsteps because there is no other way for us to reach the goal. Praise the Lord. In Matthew, it says, you're speaking be yes, yes, or no, no. Yes, yes, or no, no. Because everything exceeding that is from the evil one. Last October, I broke a law while I was flying an airplane. This brother has an airplane, and he was trying to make a shortcut in the airspace, and he broke one of the laws. And then all of a sudden, he got an invitation from the police station, and he was on trial for 1.5 hours. And the Lord told me, "Your speaking be yes, yes, or no, no." And while I was on trial, a few times I said, "Mm-hmm," but the police said, "You either say yes or no, not mm-hmm." And that's the way it is with the Lord. We can't just say mm-hmm with the Lord. We either have to say yes or no. And I told the police the truth. I said, it was a mistake. I did not take heed to the law. And for me, that was it. I didn't need to make it look nice. I didn't need to justify myself or make excuses for myself. I was still on trial for 1.5 hours with the police station. But the point is now I have a punishment. But I will only be punished once for this crime. And once you are punished, it's over, right? But if I had lied, which I could have done, then I will also be punished by my conscience for a long, long time. So today, I am thankful I had to go to the police several times. I always told them the truth, but my conscience is clear. I get a punishment, yes, it's the same with the Lord. You will reap what you sow. But then it's over. And at the end, I gave the policeman a Bible and a tract, and he was very impressed because I don't think he finds very many people who are willing to tell the truth when they are on trial for a crime that they actually committed. So praise the Lord. I was happy. The policeman was happy. Of course, I'm not so happy about the punishment that's coming my way, but the word says your word should be yes, yes, or no, no. And if we make excuses, you know, the people around us, they notice it. And the Lord definitely notices it. So better get the punishment today, pay the price today, and then it's over, and then you have a clear conscience. Praise the Lord. Let's read Genesis 2, verse 7 together. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. This aspect of being humble before the Lord is really sobering in these last days. Because without the Lord, really, we are just dust. If you think about dust, what's the usefulness of dust? When you clean your flat, you get a dustpan full of dust. Are you overjoyed? At least if it was dirt, you could put it in the planter to help the plants to grow. But dust really has no purpose and no value. And that's how we are before we have the life of the Lord. To realize everything that I try to do out of my own strength is just creating dust storms. It's just chaos. Dust storms block out light. It makes it difficult for everyone to see where to go. But praise the Lord, we have this breath of life within us. we can turn to this spirit within us. To really allow his light to permeate our full being. So we can give clarity to those around us. That they may also see this narrow way that leads to life. Last night, I saw again how often the Lord talks about following him, especially when there are great multitudes following him. We read these verses in Luke 14, about estimating the cost of following the Lord. And there was a great multitude following the Lord, and he turned to them and said to them, the Lord was very transparent. He never said it was going to be easy to follow him. It starts in verse 25, Luke 14, verse 25. He showed that to follow him is a narrow path. And you can see it also in Matthew. The last verse in Matthew 4 says, great multitudes followed him. Also in Matthew 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes. And just now in Luke 14, 25, it said, now great multitudes with him. He's just moving, so there's not a problem with the microphone and the speaker. Chapter 5, verse 1 in Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then we see all the words that the Lord speaks. And when you read it in this context, all these great multitude of people are there on the mountain. And primarily, he's speaking to his disciples, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That means the majority of this great multitude of people was not poor in spirit. He who follows the Lord must take the narrow path. And all the chapters 5, 6, and 7 show the narrow path to follow the Lord. To be poor in the spirit, that really is what it is. To be narrow, to be mourning, to mourn, to be meek. It's completely different than living in your flesh. And it becomes even narrower because only Christ can please the Father. To be poor in spirit, to be mourning, mournful, to be meek, that all has to be worked by Christ. It's not your own meekness. It's not your own mourning. It is Christ in you. It's even narrower. It's Christ in you. It's so narrow. We all know the verse that says, the Lord says, I am the way. But have we realized how narrow this way is? This really spoke to me and warned me. Not to be someone who followed the Lord as the great multitudes did, but as someone who takes the narrow path and goes through the narrow gate. I don't want to diminish what you just said, but last week, this path, this narrow path, is also the path of life. It's not that I have to take this path and eventually, at the very end, I will receive life. But while I am walking the narrow path, I will receive life from the Lord. This encouraged me. Like it says in Matthew 6. He takes care of us. He gives us nourishment. He gives us clothing. He takes care of us in all things, outwardly and inwardly. He gives us spiritual food. For me, it was an encouragement. Maybe for someone else, it might also be an encouragement for those who are doubting whether they can make it to walk along this narrow path, and then you have to take it by force. It's worth it to go along the narrow path, because while we walk this path, we will receive life from the Lord. This morning, I really enjoyed a verse in Isaiah 48, verse 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17, it says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go." That was Isaiah 48, verse 17. Lord, we thank you that you are our God, that you are our Redeemer. Show us what is of profit and lead us the way we should go. Amen. He leads you the way you should go. Amen. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. I have a word for the single brothers and sisters. I couldn't really relate to the word yesterday about marriage life, but that's okay, because the Lord gives food to everyone as they need it. And recently we had fellowship in Zurich about Luke chapter 2, and there are people in Luke 2 who really desire and wait for the first coming of the Lord. And that was Simeon and Hannah. In English, Hannah the prophetess. And there are three verses that I want to read. And they expose and show how precious they were in the Lord's eyes. It says that she was a widow. She was 84 years old. It's verse 37, chapter 2, verse 37. This woman was a widow of about 84 years and who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers day and night. Anna the prophetess. And I think the single saints can maybe relate a little bit to the widows, because all of their supply must come from the temple. And this is an advantage that we have, that our entire supply comes from the temple and from those who serve in the temple and from the Lord himself. And in 1 Timothy 5:5, Paul talked about the widows. He says, "Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day." That was 1 Timothy 5, verse 5. And I praise the Lord for this precious portion that we have to serve the Lord in his temple. And I had some fellowship with a sister, and we get along really well, and we were able to open our hearts to each other. And we talk about all sorts of things, but then all of a sudden I realized, this might seem prideful, but I am rich. I've become rich in experiences with the Lord. In the past, I have been able to go through so many things with the Lord, and this was a big encouragement for me. At the end, I read Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I praise the Lord for his doing. That was Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I also have several verses I would like to share and an experience. John 13:33. One of one, there was one disciple of Jesus leaning on Jesus' bosom, whom Jesus loved. Jesus is always the same. We can really lean on his bosom, be a child, and humble ourselves as a child. In Matthew 18:4, he who humbles himself as this small child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the Lord personally embraced me and gave me much love. I can only share that with all of you, that when we humble ourselves, receive his love, receive his embraces, receive the gifts that he gives us daily. The Lord is my Father. At home, my mother and father are separated, so I was often able to experience the Lord as my Father. I am his son. Amen. Is that Solomon? I want to thank the Father and read as a thanksgiving and an edification for all of you from Jude 20. Beloved, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and glory, a power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for the Constitution. Brother that shared on Zoom about the Constitution. I've spent a lot of time with this brother. So if you want to know more about the Constitution, come to Fountain Valley, because the brothers love to speak about the Constitution. I say that because I sometimes even think I hear about it too much or I know it too well. And through this, the Lord has showed me it's not good enough just to know the Constitution in my mind and in my heart. If I know it and I don't do it, then the Constitution is as good as dead to me. Some verses that I've appreciated are Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And for the sake of time, you can read it in German. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Through all of this fellowship, since the 4th of July conference until now, the Lord showed me how much I am like this foolish man who builds on the sand. And today I want to be more like this wise man who builds on the rock. But this means I need to hear and do. And this was the experience that the church in Philadelphia had. It says in Revelation 3:8, "For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." Revelation 3:8. "And their reward is to be made like a pillar in the temple of my God and to go out no more." Verse 12. Revelation 3:12. Amen. The Lord is an architect. Amen. But what was brought up last night was important regarding to deny yourself and the soul life, to afflict the soul life. Because my soul life is strong and it does not want to hear and do the word. But as the Lord says, to have a little strength. So my experience, if I get rid of all of my own selfish soul strength and lean only on the Lord's strength, then I can keep his word and not deny his name. But this is an exercise to deny the self and to deny the soul life. And the more I do this, the more the Lord can build something through me that is permanent. Because his kingdom is unshakable. Praise the Lord. I read Ezekiel 20, verse 10 and 11. So I guided them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which, if a man does, he shall live by them. Ezekiel 20:10-11. Lord Jesus, we want to humble ourselves before you. We want to keep your statutes and your judgments so that we may live by them, that we can go along this narrow path. Yesterday we had a lot of fellowship about Matthew 6, and so often the Father is mentioned 10 times in chapter 6 alone. And also in the Lord's Prayer begins with our Father in heaven. And I thought it's so strong how important our relationship is to the Father. And I also enjoyed Matthew 6, verse 6. "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And the Father, your Father who sees in secret, will reward you openly." Last night I woke up I don't know when, in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 a.m., I was awake, and I used this time to go into my room, my chamber, to shut the door and to pray. So often, I've had the experience how wonderful it is to give this time to the Lord, to seek the relationship to the Lord. And also, voluntarily, sometimes I think, I would just like to fall asleep again. But the Lord reminded me of the word that we heard at the beginning, that the Lord is our King, and that we can give our heart to Him because we love Him. And then I gave this time to the Lord willingly, repeated the verses that we heard, also to prepare myself for the spiritual battle today. And it was so wonderful to enter into the room, the chamber of the Lord, and to have fellowship with the Father. This is so important in the Constitution, the relationship to the Father. It's 15 or 16 times mentioned. The Father is mentioned 15 or 16 times alone in these three chapters. And the Father can really bring us to the point of living in this Constitution. Praise the Lord for such a wonderful Constitution. It encouraged me. The verses, the Mount, that it is a constitution for a kingdom. And this kingdom begins in us. And this kingdom is what the Lord wants to do. It has to do with His house. It has to do with Zion. What we heard, the Lord is the foundation of our faith. But He's not just the foundation stone. He's also the cornerstone. We have to be focused upon Him. And He's also the top stone that will be set with joy, with rejoicing. And it impressed me to be focused upon according to the direction of the cornerstone. That's how Zion is built. If everything is oriented according to Christ. This constitution is a wonderful constitution, but it only works if we are in connection with the Father and we are completely oriented according to Jesus. If we give everything to the Lord, it's so easy if I see something to pass judgment on someone, to judge them. A brother does something different than I would have done. Why is he doing it like that? I judge him. Instead, I can orient myself on the Lord and pray for the brother in joy. That's this law that works inwardly. In Zion, we need the reality so that the Lord can build Zion. For the Lord to build Zion, we need reality. A few days ago, the brother said it has to be expressed in our life. When I'm driving on the Autobahn and I realize that there's a speed limit, I shouldn't just think, okay, now I have to keep the speed limit. It's better to do it that way, of course, but this law of the Lord, when we follow Him and follow His law, it creates a joy in us. In the street where I live, it's a dead end. It's a one-way street. And in the evening, I thought, okay, after 10 o'clock, those laws don't apply to me anymore. But then the Lord often told me, no, you need to drive around, take the legal road. And when I spoke to the Lord about this simple thing, the Lord gave me joy to take the extra 2 minutes to drive the longer way around, but the legal way around. The law of the Lord doesn't just have an outward effect, it has an inward effect. You can have lots of rules about how to lead your family life, but it's good if you can uphold those things. But if it's just a religion, it's of no use. We want to build Zion, to be focused and oriented according to Christ so that his joy comes out from our inner strength. I also want to say a short word about the narrow path that leads to life. The entrance into the kingdom is not just a sudden event that happens, but it's a process. It's a path that we walk along. And that's also, I think, our experience. When we go along this path, step by step, bit by bit, we enter more into the kingdom. And the brothers talked about this. On the one hand, the path is so narrow, only Christ fits along it. And we can only go along the narrow path if we abide in Christ and stay in Christ. On the other hand, the path is so narrow and it is full of so much blessing. When the Lord brought this up, I was reminded of a passage in Mark 10:24, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?" The Lord himself said, "How hard is it to enter the kingdom of God?" And he was speaking with a rich man. The rich man wanted to enter the kingdom, but he wasn't willing to pay the price. And then he continues on in verse 25, Mark 10:25. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Verse 26, they were asking themselves, "Who can go along this way?" Verse 27, the Lord says, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible.'" With God, it is impossible. With man, it is impossible. But for our flesh, this path is much too narrow. But with God, it is possible. Then Peter said, "If it's so hard, if the path is so narrow, is it even worth it?" Then verse 28, Peter says, "See, we have left all and followed you." And in Matthew, we see the scene as well. And there it adds that Peter says, "What will we receive?" Peter wants to know, what's our reward? Is it worth it? And then the Lord says in verse 29, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one.'" That means what he says now is valid for everyone who wants to go along this path. "There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's." That's how narrow the path is. You have to leave so much, especially the things that are most dear to you, your house, your family, your lands, the things you possess. The price, on one hand, is very high, but on the other hand, in verse 30, he says, "There is no one who left all of these things who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time." Didn't impress me. It doesn't say you will receive 100-fold later, but now, in this time, you will receive 100-fold. Then the Lord repeats, "Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, and with persecutions," he adds, "with persecutions." Then we think sometimes, "Lord, why persecutions? This is supposed to be the list of the reward." But the Lord said in the Constitution in Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who are persecuted, for your reward will be great in heaven." So persecutions is in the list of the reward, not on the list of the things you have to pay, but it's on the list of the things you will receive as a reward. And then in the coming age, in the age to come, eternal life. And I really thought, it really depends upon what you see. There are two sides that you can see. You can either see the high price you have to pay, and then it may seem so difficult for you to go along this path if you only see everything you have to give up. If my life and this world is so precious to me, if my own opinion, my rights, my honor are so important to me, then this will be very difficult for me to go this path because I have to give up so many things. But you can also see the positive price, the reward that you will get today. In this time, I will get 100 fold, and in eternal life I will receive eternal life. Then every halfway reasonable person will probably say, this is worth it. My experience was in the church life. We left these things. We all have so many houses. We not only have our own houses, but we have so many brothers. We have so many brothers' houses. Some you can't have that many brothers physically. It's impossible. We have so many sisters, so many mothers, so many children. Also, lands. Is there anything that you do not have today in Zion? It's really worth it to pay this price. But there's a warning in verse 31, Mark 10:31. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So it's not just about beginning along this path, it's about ending, finishing this path. Many began along the narrow path, but it became too narrow for them in the end, and they departed from it. So let us go along this path into the very end. And whenever the Lord requires for us to pay a price, let us think of this word, that the Lord will give us 100-fold, also in the coming time, coming age. You can either see the enemy and the difficult battle, or you can see the glorious Christ who already won the battle. And then we gladly fight this fight.